CIUT would like to thank everyone who donated during our Love Your Radio fundraising drive. Our post fundraiser is now underway, and you can still donate at CIUT.fm/donate to help us reach our goal of $100,000. Every little bit helps. Thanks again, and stay tuned. Right here, right now, every day. CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. And of course, we're coming to the end of the year. This is a time to do retrospectives, talk about what has happened in 2020, the main events and those issues covered by the Taylor Report. And to begin with, I'm going to say we will be talking about relations with China, the Meng Wanzhou case, COVID-19, later in the show. But to begin with, I want to make special mention, as I've done in the past, ever since the dramatic moment when Paul Roussa Sabagina was illegally rendered from Dubai to Rwanda, where he's now a political prisoner. The capitals of Washington, Brussels, London, Paris, Ottawa have done nothing. And what they've had to say is putting it mildly, troubling. And I want to go into why that is. First of all, I want to say that we, of course, want to see the Paul Roussa Sabagina's rights restored to him. That is, as a legal resident of the United States and as a citizen of Belgium, his right not to be illegally removed from a country without due process. As a Belgian, the government of Belgium could have been approached by the government of Rwanda. They could have made a case, if they wished to try, to say that they regarded Paul Roussa Sabagina as someone who had guilty of offenses within Rwanda. And then it would have been something could be tested, and the Belgians would say whether or not they were going to comply. Same applies to the United States. And as lawyers for Mr. Roussa Sabagina have pointed out, the United States has had several instances, far too many in my view, where they have turned over Rwandan nationals who had refugee status in the United States, probably some who had citizenship, I'm not certain. But at any rate, they were removed to Rwanda after the Rwandan government made an argument as to why that should be. That did not happen here. United Arab Emirates claim they have no knowledge of him. He was, and how he came to leave Dubai in a plane that is largely handled by the government of Rwanda. They play the Gainjet, I believe is the name of the company, and it was their plane that Paul was removed aboard. And his destination, he has told the world, was, and as far as he knew, he was going to Burundi. At any rate, it's very important that this be put to the governments who failed in their duty to protect him, and who should be arguing now vigorously that he should be removed, restored to his rights as a Belgian citizen. And if they were to do that, it would probably happen, because the government of Rwanda is not a great, powerful government. It's a small government run by a general who's called the president, and that general depends on support from the West, which leads me to a bigger point about this matter. Paul Roussos Abedino. The reason we talk about him, of course, is the case itself, its merits, but the larger issue of responsibility of the United States and Canada, particularly, in assisting the seizure, the illegal seizure of power by Paul Kagame, has led to the martyrdom of the country of Rwanda. It has been martyred because of the political process that has been built up around maintaining Paul Kagame and the RPF in power. Here, I have to say that struggle against colonialism and all it is fundamental. The commenting on or involvement in cases of the type of Rwanda should have a foundation. The foundation we have is that Canada and the United States, but particularly the United States, participated as an actual on-the-ground agent and part of an international group that created a thing called the Arusha Accords and the Arusha Peace Process. And there's been a game played of people of pretense that this was not an international issue. Somehow it's been turned into the government of Rwanda versus whomever argues with them. But there was an internal argument, a political struggle in Rwanda. And it was decided that there would be a process created which had to involve external parties as part of the, you would call them the guarantors. Canada failed miserably in that process and indeed aided and abetted the taking of power by the RPF general Kagame and the protecting of him. And that's one of the reasons Paul Roussos Abedino, together with almost all Rwandans of the diaspora, and of course internal prisoners within the country, were martyred, politically martyred, to a commitment made by Washington primarily, to a lesser extent London, and then down the road France. But they're all committed to the idea that they can pretend that Arusha never happened. But it did happen. The Arusha peace process was one in which in 1994 there was to be an election of all the parties who had legal status in Rwanda, and there were several. And they were all codified and named, and they had party leaders, and they had time on radio, and they were seen in the public. There was going to be an election. However, it turns out, this was actually a regime change game directed largely from Washington, which is why Paul Roussos Abedino, Victoire Ingabire, and many, many others can't get any respect for or opportunity to exercise their rights, because what happened was that the president of Rwanda was assassinated along with the defense chief, army chief of staff. They were murdered, they were assassinated on April the 6th, 1994. And then there was a war which was carried out and launched by one of the sides in the war, that is the RPF, against the Rwandan army. And when Paul Kagame seized power, everyone forgot about the political rights of all those parties. Instead, they permitted Kagame to say that all those political parties who didn't agree with him, but were also just plain political parties, they were accused of having been responsible for the massacres and genocide of civilians. Well, time has gone on, you know, and now we have evidence, and the The United Nations has the evidence that Paul Kagame should have been among the accused, certainly his lieutenants, because the United Nations International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda investigators found, and you can find this in Judy Reaver's books, they found that the RPF had committed atrocities from one end of the country to the other, actually. But Washington had his back, Paul Kagame's back, and when they had the tribunal, and Canada participated deeply in the tribunal, just as a Canadian general had been right there in Kigali when all these events unfolded, but when they had the tribunal, their investigators came to them and to the Louise Arbour, Canadian. She was the chief prosecutor. And they said, well, we have all this evidence. And against the RPF, as well as the people that we have here on trial. And she told them, we're not going to do that. And why? Why wouldn't you prosecute anyone guilty of crimes against humanity and genocide in Rwanda in the year 1994? Why wouldn't you do that? Her answer should chill everybody. She said, because if we did that, if we prosecuted him, we wouldn't be able to do our investigations and work inside Rwanda, which is patently crazy. Because the answer to that, clearly, would be, from anybody who respected law, had a conscience, the answer would be, if he blocks our investigations, we should pull everybody out and say that the government tried to interfere in our work. And by the way, the work is over. You're not residents of Rwanda, so go away. But let the world know that you couldn't do your work because the government of Paul Kagame would not let you do that. Well, the world wasn't told that. Again, it's in Judy Reaver, it's in many other books by Philip Renchens and Robin Philpott and many, many people. Yeah, it's an agreed reality that they decided they were not going to give Paul Kagame a hard time. That means, by the way, that you had a political trial, and Ramsey Clark said this from the beginning, from day one. He said, this tribunal is victor's justice. Victor's justice. And victor's justice is not justice. Yet the ICTR and its trials, that's all been allowed to go forward. But once you did that, you didn't prosecute Kagame and his people, or any of his people, forget him for the moment, any of his people, none of them, not one. When you did that, you gave that general and his army and his power group, you gave them impunity. And when they have impunity, they do the kind of things they just did to Paul Rusa Sabagina, and that they've done to Victoire Ingabire and to all their political opponents, including, by the way, many of their closest friends, people really tight with them, part of the operation, who have now fled for their lives. Not all of them escaped, of course. Many of them went to other countries, like Cécine Dechange was murdered. I happened to have been in Nairobi the day it happened. I remember it very vividly. Murdered in cold blood, machine gunned in a car, downtown Nairobi. And then, of course, you had the former head of intelligence, a high-ranking RPF officer in South Africa, murdered on New Year's Eve a few years back, strangled to death. And actually, for that one, Paul Rusa Sabagina and his foreign minister went on to have themselves interviewed and to say really sinister and threatening and quite malignant things about other people. He knows he has impunity. And Canada gave it to him. The United States gave it to him. And they're still playing the game. So if they won't, if they're going to continue to protect him, then Paul Rusa Sabatino doesn't have a chance of a fair trial. Because the ultimate point of all this has to be to reinforce him, Paul Kagame, who is their close friend. I'm really sorry to say this. I think it's a terrible thing, a reality to be talking about. But I also have to say that all those who lost their rights, their right to have an election, their right to have their political parties, on the night that the president was assassinated, all of them are innocent. They are innocent. They've been victimized. They can never get a fair process because the commitment was to the one who carried out the assassination of Habyarimana and the one who decided, and I would use General Dallaire as my source on this. Dallaire says that the RPF was ready to go. They were on in their, he called them starting blocks. I listened to him testify. They were in their starting blocks. And the Rwandan army was not. So he seemed to know something, as it were. And when they came to that trial, all they did was try everybody. Primarily the goal was that anyone who would represent a significant power base, political base in Rwanda that could challenge his rule was put on trial as a criminal. And nobody can tell me that they are guilty and they should be in prison. They should actually, none of them should be in prison because you didn't have due process. You didn't have equality before the law. He was above the law. The RPF was above the law. And Louise Arbour said that herself when she said, I can't bother him because he won't let me do my work if I bother him. That means that you have to let the prisoners go if you have any idea of justice. If you have any idea of due process. I want to mention one last thing about these trials, that tribunal in Arusha. We had the Arusha Accords, which is a peace accords, which didn't lead to peace. Then you had the International Criminal Tribunal, which was actually a victor's justice. And the uninitiated people like Samantha Powers, and the woman at CNN, whose name I can't think of, but anyway, doesn't matter, Amanpour. They like to say, and Louise Arbour likes to say, well, you know, the whole thing was decided or shown by when the acting prime minister of the country, Jean Kambanda, confessed and pled guilty. I'm sorry, that's a con. John Kambanda said they came to him in Nairobi and they negotiated a deal in which he would say he felt he was guilty. By the way, if you ever read his statements, all John Kambanda said was he felt terrible and he felt responsible. And John Kambanda, as I've explained on the show in the past, is a very devout man. And he really was conscience stricken at all the bloodshed. And he said he felt responsible and he wanted to plead guilty. But for himself, frankly, only. And they did all kinds of things with him were improper. Look into it, you'll find a long story of improper conduct by the ICTR investigators. When people say he pled guilty, and Louise Arbour likes to say it, she forgets something. He asked for a trial. He tried to change his plea. What went wrong? What went wrong was he wasn't able or willing to give them any evidence that they wanted him to give. They wanted him to be the big guy who said, I did it and all these other guys did it. So when it came time to kind of go down the list, he said, frankly, I don't know anything about that guy. I couldn't tell you. And they said, well, this is not going to be, you know, this is not working. And so he said, well, I want to change. I want to go in front of the judges and say that I was manipulated. I was lied to. They made all kinds of arrangements for his family. And actually, they didn't make the arrangement. They promised they would. It's a long story. You should look into it. But because Louise Arbour and Amanpour and Samantha Powers, these people blow smoke about Jean-Plan Kambanda. John Campbell, asked for a trial. I was in the courtroom when they brought him in. He said, I would like to have a trial. And they told him, no. I remember Judge Pillay, did you sign this document, Mr. Campbell? Yes, I did. But I was manipulated and I would like to have a trial. Did you sign this document? That's your signature? Yeah. Well then, you can't have a trial. So, I watched it. Call me as a witness. It was a disgrace. If he's so guilty, why don't you say, all right, we'll put you on trial? No. That ain't the way it's played. But here's another story about Kambanda. John Kambanda, when they had the trial of the, they moved on from him, they decided that really the bad guy was Colonel Bagasora. And they really got the drums beating and the bugles playing, and they brought in British reporters who stamped their feet and looked through the glass at him, and you know, there he is, the terrible Colonel Bagasora. guess what, Samantha? And all you others, man poor and all you liars, and especially you, Louise Arbour. Why don't you tell everybody the truth? Jean Kambanda testified for Colonel Bagasora and said he was innocent. He said he didn't commit any crimes that he saw, and he was the prime minister. And you convicted him. I mean, you let him, he wouldn't get, let him get out of his spot and have a trial, but you convicted him. And he says Bagasora didn't do anything. And he blew all kinds of myths about Bagasora sky high, and I enjoyed watching it. I sat there and listened. This is where we are with this problem. Rwanda got martyred at the and by the ICTR, and they got martyred when the Arusha cords were taken from them. And Canada and the United States were supposed to be among the countries, probably the United States more than Canada, Belgium was another, were supposed to enforce and see to it that the parties lived up to their promises. The promise was for an election. It never came. Promise was for the right of parties to function. That didn't happen either. With Kagame and the United States criminalized everybody who was potentially capable of defeating them in an election. Nobody doubts, had there been an election, Kagame could not have won it. There's a long, simple story about that. But anyhow, this is where we are with the problem. And I want our listeners to know, you fight for the rights of Rusesabagina, but you need to fight for the larger right of that people to the democratic process that Western states participated in promising and then reneged on and now do not want to be reminded that they backed out of their responsibilities. Instead, they want to heap abuse on the people of Rwanda who have lost all their rights and have a leader who has now the impunity where it's already agreed he can't be called to account for what his role was in the role of the RPF in the events in 1994, about which Paul Rusesabagina spoke very eloquently, as do hundreds and hundreds of others. It would help the people of Rwanda to have this victory, if they could get it, of where Western countries, particularly those with responsibilities and history in that country, not from abroad, but they went there hands-on and got involved and promised people, a bunch of white Europeans went there and said, oh yeah, we're going to see to it that you have a constitution and an election and all the parties, and you can have publications and you can have radio stations and you're going to do all that's that idiot, what's her name, I forget, now from Human Rights Watch, she was going to set up her own radio station in Rwanda because she thought that they really needed her. That's Alison DeFort. They really needed her to set up a radio station. But I was all for it. Go ahead, set up a radio station. They were going to do all these things. But what happened was an armed group seized power. Turned out that the Americans loved them. And from now on, nobody can do anything about it. So if we're going to fix this, we have to say, well, now he's a refugee. Belgium acknowledged that, yes, he had a right to be a refugee because, yes, his life was in danger and that of his wife and family. So they left. He got to be in Belgium, and he became a Belgian citizen, and he became a good citizen, an outstanding family. And he's doing his duty to tell the truth as he knew it, and that got him into a problem. So Canada should not say, we want him to have a fair trial. Canada should say, as a Belgian, he was illegally removed from Dubai, which is not, by the way, a democracy, and taken to Rwanda. We want him returned. You don't say, I want him to have a fair trial. You say, I want him to have his rights. His rights. But if you do that, then you're going to be, of course, putting a little shade on the power, on the strong man, they call him strong man, that they put in power in Rwanda. So yes, Canada has a job. We have a job, and we have to recognize that the Arusha Accords was a lie out of the mouths of Britain, Canada, United States, UK. It was a lie because they didn't say, hey, wait a minute, Mr. Arusha, Mr. Kagame, you can't take power. You're supposed to have an election. And the other side gets to have their newspapers. The other side gets to have their parties. You can't do this. So we lied to them. Then we said, we're going to have a trial to establish a guilty, who's guilty for the crimes in 1994. But we won't prosecute one group, which is to say you didn't have a trial. You had victor's justice. And you martyred the people of Rwanda. You martyred them. Because they have no hope when you say that. They can't have parties. They can't talk back. They cannot put out newspapers. They can't go on television. They can't have their radio stations. All that was malarkey. You lied. And then you lied when you said you gave them a fair trial. You didn't give them a fair trial. You gave impunity to someone who was deeply involved in all of the violence. He must have been. He was leading an army, wasn't he? So we got a lot of problems here. And our first chore task at the moment is to fight for the rights of Paul Rusesabagina, and the right, that is, to be released, returned to his family. And then, if you want, let's have a political struggle. Let's have a legal struggle. Go ahead. But quit acting like a bunch of pirates and then calling yourselves government. This is the Teal Report. It is CIUT. It is 89.5 FM. We have some more coming up.
Your radio, CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city.